Proverbs will kind of be all over the place. You might want to put your finger in Ephesians chapter 5. So here we are. We're carrying on in our summer sermon series, a thematic study of Proverbs. Wisdom for the family. Wisdom for life. And we come to yet another massive topic. We could spend a whole series just on this alone, what Proverbs has to teach us for families, wisdom for families. And I've tried really hard to summarize and accommodate the word to show us Christ and his wisdom for each and every one of us, particularly because we're all members of a family, each and every one of us. And God has much to teach us about wisdom for the family and living in a family. So let's begin. As a way of introduction, I've called us to the reality here as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to see the gift of the family. We have to see that, the gift of the family. And we also, being wise in Christ, we must see the reality that there's a conflict between the worldly and the wise. Between godly families, God-fearing families, and those families that don't fear the Lord. Don't we see the wisdom of God on display in the gift of the family? Isn't the family the wisdom of God and a gift to us as people? We so desperately need this, the gift of the family. Think about this. Before the fall into sin, right there in the midst of the garden in creation, the Lord saw that Adam needed a family. He needed a wife. He needed a helpmate. And together they were going to fill the garden and the earth with godly seed to be a blessing, to bless one another. What a gift. But we know sin entered into the world. It entered into the garden. It entered in through the family, through Adam and Eve, their fall into sin. So that the family now, it's not a place of peace and blessing, but it's really a place of spiritual warfare and brokenness and hostility and pain. We must recognize this. But we also must recognize and praise the Lord that Almighty God, through his wisdom in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can see families redeemed, that we can see families restored in the gospel. As the people of God go forth, as we receive the grace of God in Christ, we see our own families beautified and transformed by the family of God. As the Father sent forth the Son to bring redemption, and the Son went forth to accomplish it, and then the Holy Spirit poured out to apply it to our hearts and our souls and our lives so that our families can be a different place. It only takes one believer to sanctify the family, to have a family set apart, to be a place where the grace of God is in motion and at work. And this is the way Proverbs begins. We see the conflict between the wise family and the unwise family. The wise family is the family that knows the fear of the Lord. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. But the unwise family is the family that rejects the wisdom of God Almighty. To come to true wisdom, to come to Messiah, to know peace. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 and following fills out the path of the unwise family and shows this conflict. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way. And their way, the unwise family, is the way of destruction. But hallelujah. The Lord of glory holds out to us today, this day, the wisdom for life. He holds out to us the promise of Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is our righteousness and our peace and our joy and our sanctification. He is our redemption. We can know true wisdom for the family and for life. Let's take hold of him. Well, that brings us to our second main point this morning. The members of a Christian family must be led by godly wisdom and live it out visibly. We must be led by godly wisdom, and we must live it out visibly before our families and the watching world. This is what Solomon presses home in Proverbs chapter 2. This is the thrust of what he calls his son to. He says, "Son, know the truth of God, know the Lord, know the gift of wisdom in Messiah." If you're alive in the fear of the Lord, then you'll be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll study his ways, and you'll love his ways, and you'll move through life with a heart and a soul that is set upon the Lord. It'll be a different kind of life. It'll be a life that is a life of true confession, not just with words, but with the heart and the hands and the lips and service and love. You see, the godly family member is not a Christian actor. He's not a hypocrite. He has a sincere heart change, a sincere heart desire to know God and to know the truth of God and to live it out in his family before the watching world. And you see, the New Testament illustrates this for us so beautifully, so importantly. You see, we come to the Old Testament and we derive the truth from the Old Testament as we look at it through the New Testament. I hope you embrace that and you see that. We have to see the glory of Christ coming and the fulfillment of all of the promises that are in the Old Testament found in Christ Jesus, that he's the fulfillment of righteousness, peace, and joy for the people of God. And so we have to look through the fulfillment of Christ to understand the truths of divine wisdom for us to be gleaned from Proverbs. You know the old saying that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So in the Gospels and the Epistles and the coming and the glory of Christ, we see the truth and we're able to derive the glorious wisdom of God for families. This is what Paul is driving home to us from Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. That we have to see generally for wisdom for the family before we can go particularly to each roles that we have in our families. You see, the wisdom of God teaches us this in Ephesians that opens up the Proverbs for the family. You see, believer, regardless of your place in the family, whether you're a parent or a child, a husband or a wife, at one time you were dead spiritually. And you didn't walk wise. You walked according to your own fallen, sinful flesh, your own sinful lusts and desires. You were driven by the unwise things of this fallen world. You had a selfish, self-serving motivation. And like the rest of the sons of Adam and Eve, you were under condemnation, a child of wrath. But glory, hallelujah, God acted. He acted in the glory of his Son. He made you alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. He made you alive by his amazing grace. He gave you the gift of saving faith that you could come and receive Christ and rest in Christ alone for salvation and life and peace. And that's when you can begin to live out godly wisdom before your family and before this watching world. That's when you turn away from counterfeit wisdom and you embrace the wisdom of Almighty God, regardless of your station in the family. And Paul shows us this beautifully in the picture of the wise family that we read from Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. He shows us this by contrast. He shows us three contrasting situations that he follows up with three gospel commands to show us the structure of the wise, godly family in Christ Jesus. What are the contrasts? Verses 15 and 16 in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "Look carefully then how to walk. Not as unwise, but as wise." There's the contrast. Don't walk like the unwise pagans in the world. Walk wise. Remember, you're alive in Christ. You've been born again. Walk wise. Don't walk unwise. He says in verse 17, "Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord." You have the word of God. Therefore, you have the will of God. Don't be foolish. Be filled up with God's truth, his word, his will for you. And then the third contrast. Don't get drunk on alcohol, but do be filled with the Spirit, which is life and peace. What a contrast. And now Paul gives three gospel commands. Remember, this is for those who are born again in Christ Jesus, in the family of God. This is how they are to live, to glean true wisdom from the Lord and from His Word. He says, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, a person that has a heart filled with worship and praise is a person that is under the lordship of Christ and is walking in divine wisdom. A gospel command for the people of God. The second command, he says, give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a person who has a heart of prayer is a person that is filled with thanksgiving. They're under the lordship of Christ. They are walking in wisdom. And then the third gospel command for the people of God, for the family of God, all of you be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, a person who recognizes God-given authority structures is under the lordship of Christ and is walking in wisdom. And that's when Paul gives this glorious structure of how the Lord structures the family that we might live wisely in this world, born again to the living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's at this point, after all that, that he says, wives, submit to husbands. Children, submit to parents. You see, those born again to life in Christ and a life of wisdom, they come under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and they submit to him in love in their individual callings in the family. This is the way of the wise in the family of God, born again to a living hope in the Spirit of Christ. We see such a family, such a covenant family that walks wise in the light of Christ. They know God's will. They're filled with the Spirit. They're filled with praise, and they're filled up with prayers for their family, for their community. They walk and live in such a way that it is a glorious testimony before the watching world. It's sincere. We must walk and live such a way as we live out our callings in the family. So now we get to the specific callings that we derive. Looking through the New Testament and the glory of Christ coming, the fulfillment of Christ, so we can really glean these gems and these diamonds and the gold and the precious things that we see that Solomon gives the family, the wise family. We come to fathers. It's our third main point this morning. Fathers must tend and keep their families in love. Fathers must tend and keep their families in love. They do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. They do this depending upon the grace of God. And they do this in such a way that the Lord works through them and adorns their lives with certain characteristics, certain Christ-like characteristics. Proverbs 15 says this, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The godly father, he commits his ways to the Lord. He leans upon the Lord and his wisdom to lead his family. You see, faithful tending is leading. That's what it means to faithfully tend your Christian family, fathers. It's to lead the family and to lead the family to something very specific. It's to lead the family to wisdom itself. It's to lead the family to Christ, who is our wisdom, who is our righteousness, who is our redemption. We must lead our families to Christ, brothers. So how do we do that? Well, first, we do it through conformity. Remember, this is for those who have been born again to a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has declared you to be righteous in Christ, and he's given you his Holy Spirit to seal your heart and to empower you to more and more manifest who he's declared you to be. So, brothers, we have to conform our lives to Christ. That's how we lead our families to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we lead our families to wisdom itself. Remember, we're not filled with wine. We're filled with the Spirit. Remember, we're not prayerless. We're filled with prayers. We're not praiseless. We're filled with praise. We manifest conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ in our walk, in our life. Remember, we're not wearing a mask. We must be who we are in Christ. Well, how else do we lead the family to Christ, to wisdom? We do it through confession, don't we? We do it through holy confession. We join with all of the godly men of ages past. We join with Moses and we stand up and we declare, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We stand up and we make known our confession, which is Christ crucified for sinners, the Lord of glory. If your children doubt who you confess, you've got a problem. We must confess Christ. That's how we lead our families to wisdom. I stand with the apostolic church. I confess Christ. We do it corporately. We must do it also in our families as we lead them. Well, how else do we lead them to true wisdom? Well, here's the heart of the matter. We do it through communication. We open up our mouths and we speak the word of God to our families. Isn't this the running theme throughout Proverbs? Isn't this what we see again and again as Solomon, he opens his mouth to his sons, to his children. He says, "Hear me, O my son, listen to the instruction of your father. Be attentive that you may know the wisdom of God for you." Again, this has been from the beginning, isn't it? That the men of the Lord, the men of the covenant, they stand up and they open their mouths and they communicate the word of God to their families. Consider Moses again, filled with the Spirit of God, leading the people of Israel. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. And these words that I command you, the commands of the Lord, they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." That's the call and the command to the men to lead their families with the word of God, to lead them to wisdom, to lead them to Christ. Do you see this, brothers? As fathers, you are the pastor of your family. You are the preacher of your family. You are the teacher of your family, and the word that you speak is the word of the Lord. So how do you do this? Well, of course, you lead your family to corporate worship where the word is read and preached and prayed and sung and experienced in the sacraments. But you also need to lead your family by communicating the truth of God's word day by day in devotions and prayer. In times with your children, one-on-one, where you speak to them about the things of Christ and you pray with them and for them, and you have to have a plan. You have to be strategic. As you go on vacations, as you go hiking and biking, as you go through the highways and the byways of life, you relate things to biblical gospel truth. You open your mouth, you communicate Christ, you lead your family. Wise men lead their families. They tend them. But what about the keeping? Faithful keeping is to protect the family from the world of fake wisdom. If tending is leading, and leading is to wear the crown of love, the crown of Christ, and to lead your family to Christ, then faithful keeping is to wear the sword of the Spirit and to protect your family from the fake wisdom of the world. The wise father protects his family. How do we protect our families? How do we keep them? Well, we do it through combating the world's attacks upon godly wisdom. The world is constantly invading our families and our homes and our lives with fake wisdom, with horrible things. You know, these days we talk about screen time. We don't talk about sitting in front of the TV. But that's one of the primary ways that the world, fallen into sin and rebellion, seeks to come and bring forth fake wisdom to pervert your family and to confuse your family and to lead your family away from true wisdom. All the pads, all the phones, the internet, all the ways in which the world creeps in and says, "This isn't what a family is. This is what a family is." Not God's way, but the world's way. This is what gender is. This is what sexuality is. This is what the dignity of man is. And the world comes and begins to pervert. So we have to fight and protect and speak the word of life to our families and know that the Lord fights for us, because the wisdom of the world is folly with God. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So we need to point our families to the truth and show them that things like paganism and humanism are great failures. We must protect them. We must hold up the truth and lead them in the right way. Well, how else do we protect fathers? How else do we protect our families? We do it through providing a peaceful home. Boy, this hits home from my own heart. How do we provide a peaceful home for our families, brothers? You know, the first thing that we need to do is we need to protect our families from our own flesh. Do you realize that? When the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart and life and gave you that new heart, that new life, he broke sin's dominion over you. But we still struggle with sin's influence. And so we bring our own sin into the family and we destroy the peace. So that's where it starts. We have to be first repenters. We have to deal with our sin quickly. We have to take it to Christ. We have to take it to the cross. We have to mortify it so we provide a peaceful home for our families. Doesn't this come out in the way of sinful anger? I know it does for me. I know it does for so many Christian fathers. We don't check our sinful anger. Listen to what Proverbs 11:29 says. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind. Does your anger trouble your own household? Take it to Christ. Check your flesh. Do it gospelly by repenting and believing and turning to Christ. Well, providing a peaceful home doesn't mean that we just check our own flesh, but we have to check the flesh of our children, don't we? You see, the godly, wise father who protects his family, he does so by bringing forth godly and loving discipline. Brothers, listen to Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. We must discipline our children to protect the peace of the home. That's what godly men do. That's what godly fathers do. Well, finally, how else do we protect the peace of the home? How else do we protect the family? We do it through persistent prayer. Fathers, we pray for our families. We pray for them daily. We pray for each member of the family individually. We pray for our wives and we pray for our children. We ask for spiritual and physical blessing and protection. We pray for salvation. We pray for peace. We pray for growth. What a poor and unwise man who does not pray for his family daily. He's like a man who chooses to live in a house with no roof. It's open to the dangers of the world that just fall in upon it. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Pray for your families day by day. So now, how about the mothers? We come to the fourth point this morning as we look at wisdom for the family. Our fourth main point this morning, wise mothers must yield and care for their families. Yield and care. Is there any other place in Scripture that we go that shows such a beautiful portrait of a godly woman than the end of Proverbs? Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. And we need to remember again, as we look at this picture, this glorious gospel picture of the godly woman, we do so through the totality of Scripture. We do so through Christ. We do so through the New Testament, the reality of the redemption of Christ. And as we do that, we see a beautiful picture illustrated of a godly, redeemed womanhood. Proverbs 31 in the picture of this glorious, godly woman, it's not just for mothers, it's for women in each stage of life. As I read this, as I look at it, it's not all this right now, but it shows a progression, a sanctification, a growth for this godly woman in the grips of God's grace. This is for daughters and wives and mothers and homemakers and working moms too. And certainly it shows the glorious picture of the godly woman as she is in relationship with her husband and her family. You see, the picture that we see is a woman who is so alive to the amazing grace of the Lord that she's so alive in the reality that she's in the grips of God's grace for her in Christ Jesus that she recognizes her husband's calling to lead the family, and so she yields the way. She steps aside and allows him to take the reins of spiritual leadership in the family, and she encourages him and supports him and prays for him as he leads the home. Because she's under the authority of Christ himself in love, she won't fight and wrestle with her husband for leadership, but she'll put her energies in a different direction. What is that? Well, she'll use her energies and her gifts to care for her family, to bless her family, to pour herself out for the good of her family. This is the picture that we see in Proverbs 31 of a woman who has been so adorned by the love of God and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that she begins to manifest characteristics of Christ. So what are some of these characteristics? Well, the wise woman grows more diligent. That's what Proverbs 31 shows us. The wise woman grows more diligent. She is diligent to find and discover her God-given spiritual gifts. And then she's diligent to develop those gifts, and then she's diligent to deploy those gifts into her covenant family, into her covenant community, to bless her family. She's diligent. She's diligent in Christ. Well, what else? She grows more compassionate. She's compassionate. The wise woman has experienced the compassion of the Lord of grace that has gripped her heart so that she seeks for opportunities to show the compassion of Christ to her family, to her covenant community. Well, what else? The wise woman, she grows more and more servant-minded, doesn't she? She grows more and more servant-hearted. She has a servant heart. This is what we see of the Proverbs 31 woman. She's been so served by her Savior that she goes forth looking for ways to serve her covenant community. She pours herself out in service. That's what we see. Well, we also see the wise woman grows more discipleship-minded. This is so beautiful. She's a discipler. This is what Proverbs 31 says. It says that she opens her mouth with wisdom. Sisters, is discipleship anything less than just opening your mouth and letting flow forth what's in your heart, the word of God that's been ruminating, that you've been meditating upon, that you've been living out of, so that you speak it to your fellow sisters? Isn't this what Titus 2 is all about? Women's discipleship, meeting with your sisters in the grace and peace of Christ and holding one another up in the truths that we hold so dear. Discipling one another. Building relationships with one another that are strong enough to do discipleship, to go together to the Lord, to lift each other up. The wise woman is a discipler, and she especially disciples her children. You know, women have an opportunity to be around their children usually a lot more than the husband. And what a blessing when a wise woman knows the word of God so that she's available to answer her children's questions and to disciple them in the truth. Just consider the glorious discipleship that Timothy's mother and grandmother played in his life. We know that they discipled Timothy in the word of God and the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. They prepared Timothy for the day that he would meet a man named Paul who would introduce him to the fulfillment of the scriptures, Jesus. And that discipleship didn't just have an impact upon their immediate family, but the world. How amazing. The wise woman, the godly woman, she's a discipler. And finally, from Proverbs 31, we see that she grows more and more kind-hearted. Proverbs 31 says, kindness is on her tongue. You know, in this sin-bitten, hard-hearted world, isn't it such a blessing to know a kind-hearted, godly, wise woman who speaks kindness to you? Isn't that a blessing to our families, to our community, to our covenant community? Have you ever been out in the world and you've been struck by an exceptionally beautiful woman? You noticed her. Maybe in a store or a restaurant. But then she opened her mouth to speak to her children or to a waiter or to a clerk, and what came out was ugly. How sad. But you see, the godly woman, the wise woman, has kindness sealed to her heart because that's where Christ lives. So she speaks words that build up in love. Well, now we come to the children as we come to the end of this message on wisdom for the family and come to the table. Our final point, wise children must receive wisdom, they must grow in wisdom, and they must go with wisdom. You see, the Lord declares to you children that you must honor and obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good and right. And it comes with a blessing that you might live long, that it might go well with you. And you see, you're in a blessed and privileged place here in this covenant community because you, as part of the visible family of God, you have the ability to come in under the Word of God in all of its forms, preached and read and prayed and sung and experienced in the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And as part of a covenant community, you have a covenant family where you come in under the Word of God. You are in the right place to receive wisdom. And to receive wisdom is to receive Christ. And the Lord, He holds out His promise to you to receive Christ. And He has the power and the ability and even the desire to take away your heart of sin and to give you a heart of love and to fill it with wisdom. You're in the right place to receive. So the wise child, he humbly receives Christ the Lord. To receive wisdom for a child is to receive Christ the Lord. That's what Proverbs 2 and 4 is all about. As Solomon is driving his children in that privileged position as being part of a covenant family, to receive the Lord. Proverbs 4 declares the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And that means get Christ. Take hold of Christ, children. Receive Christ. He's the only ark of salvation. He's the only door that leads to heaven. Receive wisdom. Receive Christ. You know, children, you never stop needing wisdom in your life. Adults need it. Children need it. But if you deny your need of wisdom, of true wisdom, of godly wisdom, then you will reap the whirlwind of a life of pain and shame and brokenness. So every opportunity that you have to come under the Word, study it. Take notice of it. Take notice of the promises and the commands and store them up in your heart and treasure them. The wise child receives wisdom, receives Christ. And don't despise the authority structures that you're under. God has given you parents and pastors and elders and teachers to lead you to receiving Christ. Well, the wise child eagerly grows in wisdom. The wise child eagerly grows in Christ the Lord. Proverbs 14:11 says this: the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. You see, the wise child who has received wisdom, he grows in wisdom, he grows in Christ, and he flourishes. What a beautiful, glorious promise this is. As you hold on to Christ, you will grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men because you're holding on to the one who did it perfectly. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who grew in stature and favor with God and man, who grew in wisdom, who came forth to be your Savior, you will flourish And as you flourish, you will receive discipline. That's what it means to flourish and grow in wisdom, children. Proverbs 12:1 says this, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." You will grow in discipline. And as you grow in discipline, you'll grow in the spiritual fruit of being able to have self-control, which includes your words. You'll learn more and more as you grow and flourish that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Children, grow in wisdom. Grow in Christ. Flourish in this life. And as you do, you're going to go on into a glorious adventure with the Lord. And that's our final thought. The wise child zealously goes forth with Christ the Lord. That's what we see in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous one who walks in his integrity, oh, how blessed are his children after him. You see, as you grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you grow up in wisdom, you'll go forth into this life on adventure with the Lord, and you will be shepherded out of childhood into adulthood, wise in the Lord, zealous for the Lord, ready to go on a great adventure with the Lord. You'll be prepared for those harder decisions that come your way. You'll watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You'll do so zealously, says Solomon. You see, the wise young person goes forth with Christ seeking a wise spouse, a godly spouse. You'll be equally yoked. You'll look for that right man or that right woman that you are going to join in holy matrimony, and you will raise, Lord willing, your own godly children, pointing them to Christ again and again and again. This is the glorious adventure that the Lord has for the wise children in Christ Jesus. And as you do that, as we all do this, we'll go forth in the power and the peace and the protection of our wise Heavenly Father, who has given us the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And we'll do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, as Solomon declares in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." So friends, are you wise? Have you received Christ, the wisdom of God? God's righteousness for you. God's power of sanctification for you. God's redemption for you. Are you wise? Are you walking in wisdom? Do you know the Lord? Well, how wise it was for the Lord to give us this wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper. What wisdom we see here by the Father to give us this glorious gift through the Son that we might enjoy and commune with wisdom itself. Let's pray and go to the table. Oh, Lord Almighty, we worship you and praise you, and we thank you that you have given us salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, true wisdom, and that wisdom is sealed to our hearts, and you've given us the power of the Holy Spirit to live it out before the watching world. And we pray, oh Lord, that now as we come and we commune with you, that you would build us up and feed us and prepare us so that we might go forth and proclaim your praise and your greatness to this world that so desperately needs to hear the gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.